proper illegal heating device. How were those made?
I made one last night. I'll show it to you.
You made one last night at our request?
Right. This is commonly referred to as a dropper. It's,
can you get the camera on it close so that it can be explained?
Like you use two razor blades, and you put sticks or matchsticks between it, wrap string around it or thread, and you hook your wires to it. And you just get a piece of a lamp cord. And what we always used to use is paper clips and put some tape around them. You drop this into the water and you plug in these two paper clips, and it works by electrolysis. The water acts as a conductor, and this is how you make hot water.
What would you plug the two paper clips into?
You get what we call these female plugs. You pull out your light bulb and you're in the dark, and you plug this in. You drop this in the water, and then plug these in one at a time, because I'll shock you if you get them both at the same time.
Now, you said about 75% of the inmates used a device like this. Was the device, in fact, tolerated at the institution?
It depended on who the officer was, if he found it. Some officers would walk right by your cell, and it's in the water, and it's bubbling away, and he wouldn't say nothing. The next one would come down and have him hit your door and take it away from you, and you'd be keep locked for a few days.
Would it depend also on who the inmate was?
Definitely. If you were what they considered, you know, you didn't bother nobody, they would let it slide a little more. But if you were spoke out against them at all, then, you know, they got a perfect bust then, because this is illegal device, and they got you then.
Now, in talking about things you had to buy at Attica, what did you do about shaving?
Well, we had to buy our own razor blades. You were required to shave, and you had to buy or have your razor blades sent in.
What about lather?
Use hand soap. Or you could buy brushless shaving cream at the commissary. They would sell all the items at the commissary like that.
Have there been changes in this since the uprising?
Yes, since the uprising, now they provided one of these lather machines like it's in a barber shop at the end of the gallery, and they'll give you razor blades, and they'll give you toothpaste now. They'll give you toothpaste, toilet paper, and these other items, soap, on request now.
And how often were you granted the privilege of taking a shower?
Nearly every place in the prison, it's one shower a day. One shower a week. And then when I moved to a different job, this identification job, they changed it and they let me have two showers a week. But nearly like the whole metal shop, the school, all of those was, you know, unchanging. They got one shower a week.
Now, there were some jobs where there was a shower on location. In those instances, how frequently could you take a shower?
E-Block, they would let them have showers there. It was nearly every night or when they needed one.
But in general population, if you weren't in a place in which there was a shower on job, at your job location, you'd be restricted at that time to one shower
a week.
A week.
You'd have to march with the company and go to the shower room.
Now, where did inmates get the money from to buy these things which you've described as necessaries prior to September, shaving cream, razor blades, additional foodstuffs, toilet paper, toothpaste, etc.?
Like myself, I got money from home in packages, and I had the highest paying job in the institution.
And with the highest paying job in the institution, could you afford to buy what you needed, or did you have to supplement it from home?
My wife still sent me money because, you know, reading, I send for books or whatever I things I wanted to read because the library was not, there was nothing there.
Did you say before how often you got the toilet paper?
It was once every 5 weeks.
Right. Now, how did you keep in touch with home?
I would write home. The institution provided one letterhead per week with postage paid. And this one was free, and if you wanted to send any other letters, you had to buy postage, too. Like I used to buy $4 or $5 worth of postage at a time, so you know you have sufficient postage. Because if you don't have the money to send the letters, you don't mail your letters out.
And what about visiting?
I was getting visits once a month. Some people get them. You can get them up to 5 times a month. But the visits are it's set up like a U shape. The inmates are on the outside of the U, and the visitors are on the inside of the U, and there's a wire mesh that's about maybe 6-7 foot high, dividing the two parts. And I have two children, and during the entire time that I was in Attica or in prison, I didn't have my children visit me, because if they want to see an animal, they can go to a zoo. You know, this is, you couldn't even touch them. The gate is in the way. And how are your children going to understand? My children at the time were 3 and 4 years old, and to try to explain to them why I'm in a cage, you know, I just couldn't do it. So I never seen him during this entire period.
You've been painting word pictures of Attica, Mr. Jackson. I think it would probably be useful at this time if we could show a movie that the commission made under the supervision of Judge Willis, who was the first deputy general counsel and who's sitting on my left. And Judge Willis can describe and narrate the movie. I refer to Charles Willis as Judge Willis because that was his position before he joined the commission and took over supervisory responsibilities.
I think I'd like to read his
Before you do that, I wonder if it would be appropriate to introduce Mr. Hennix, who has now come. Is this microphone live?
Yes,
sir. Mr. Amos Hennix, who has now made it here, give us 100% attention, attendance. All members of the commission, we're glad to welcome you, Amos.
Glad to be here. Late, but I'm here.
All right, we must... perhaps we should begin by telling what Attica is before we show the film. Now, prisons are often remote places, easily ignored. The Attica Correctional Facility lies next to the village of Attica in rural Wyoming County. The principal industry of this village is the correctional facility. Few of us have seen a prison or correctional facility close up. We tend to imagine prisons as we've seen them in films. To provide a basic understanding of what Attica is, we have made some film of our own.
Tourists. For those who must come here to visit inmates, the journey to the main gate is long and expensive. No bus or train or plane runs to Attica. The walls completely surrounding Attica are 30 feet high. They are sunk 12 feet below the ground, built of stone blocks overlaid with concrete. But they do not directly enclose inmates. Behind the wall is a wire fence. Behind the fence, the walls of the cell blocks, and within the blocks, the barred cells where inmates spend most of their time. A prison is a series of boxes within boxes. The walls are the outermost box across the strip of empty green lawn. Behind the wall is the administration building, the prison's operational center, separated from the prison proper that lies beyond a series of gates. It is a part of prison law that the former inmate finds it hard to learn that on the outside, no one opens doors for him, Inside, a guard must unlock, open, shut, and lock these doors and gates every time a person or group passes through. Between the administrative offices and the prison itself is the visiting room, where an inmate may see visitors only once a week on any day of the week. Inmates and visitors speak to each other under the surveillance of a guard through heavy wire mesh. Inmates are strip searched before and after each visit. Beyond the administrative area begins a series of electric gates that whir open and shut as one passes through them deeper into the tight security of the inner prison. By the time one has passed through all of them, seven gates in all have sealed the path back to the main gate in the outer wall, and one more mechanical gate must open to allow entrance to A Block, one of the four largest residential units. We have now entered the third of a series of boxes. The first site is the block's office that manages the daily life of its occupants. These posts are manned by uniformed correction officers and clerks who are inmates who hold one of the most sought-after jobs in prison. A tier of cells is a prison neighborhood, a street of close acquaintances. There are three types of cells in Attica. The most common is a 5-by-8-foot cell with blank walls on three sides and a barred sliding gate. The closest window is across the corridor. For all inmates, the cell is the center of his life. They spend from 16 to 23 hours every day in these cubicles. One of the residential cell blocks contains a different type of cell, not larger, but with a window cut into the back wall, providing a view for the inmate to contemplate. These cells have solid doors, not barred gates, providing a greater degree of privacy. In E Block, the cells have hinged doors and are almost like private rooms. This block houses an experimental prison program, the Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, financed by federal funds, which will be described in detail later in these hearings. When inmates move from place to place through the prison, they march informally, two by two, in companies guarded by correction officers. Most inmates walking to personal appointments can move only under guard. Twice a week, the companies of inmates are marched to a central shower room. Before the events of September 1971, inmates bathed once a week. Since then, a 100% improvement has been made. Showers twice a week. Three times a day, the inmate companies march to one of two mess halls. Stools and tables are fixed to the floor. The table settings are simple. The sugar shakers are a recent innovation. The spoons, the only cutlery at most meals, are equivalent to a pass for leaving the mess hall. No one may leave without returning or turning in a spoon. When inmates apply for medical attention, they pass through the dispensary for preliminary diagnosis. If medical personnel determine nothing more elaborate is required, simple medications such as aspirin, laxative, and tranquilizers are administered on the spot. Attica's services for medical purposes will be described fully in the course of these hearings. Most inmates hold jobs. Some of them, such as the laundry job, serve Attica and its population. This is a self-contained society in many respects. This huge industrial plant washes, dries, and presses the clothing and linen of the entire institution, from the plainest cells to the superintendent's house. About 15% of the inmate population works in the metal shop. These are really huge factories with giant machines for metal fabrication. They can take sheets and bars of metal and punch, bend, and weld them into almost any configuration. The shops are set up to make lockers and filing cabinets for state institutions. A few inmates perform automotive tasks in the prison's garage, which serves two purposes. It maintains the prison's own vehicles and also provides a limited training program for inmates wishing to acquire automotive skills. Inmates working here have access on the job to shower and toilet facilities, functional, if not exactly private. When work is done, recreation means the yard during certain specified periods. There are four of these yards in the space enclosed by the four largest cell blocks. And no matter what the season, they are the only recreational spaces. the only places and spaces for socialization among the inmates. The surface of the yards is part concrete, part bare earth, and part grass. Two of the yards are equipped with some recreational equipment. There are basketball hoops, a volleyball net, a concrete pylon that serves as a handball court, which was built by the inmates. There are benches and tables for checkers and chess. All exercise and outing take place in these yards. There's a television, too, in the recreational program, but the sets are mounted in the open air and may be watched only during daylight hours, regardless of the outside temperature, which drops below zero during the winter. Prison ingenuity is well known, and even though prisoners locked in their cells cannot see each other, some find ways to share a game.
We have seen glimpses of Attica in these pictures, but as our presentation proceeds, we'll gain much greater insights into prison life. All of the aspects of prison life that the film touched on briefly will be presented in detail. What will emerge from our presentation, therefore, is not only a picture of the events at Attica in September 1971, but also an intimate look at what prison life is like and how prisons are run. Thank you.
Mr. Jackson, in that film that we saw, there was a glimpse of some hands through the bar. Could you see that?
Yes, sir.
Tell everybody what that is, because it was very hard to view it on this film.
Many times, if you have two adjoining cells, men will go to extremes to get adjoining cells and enjoy, like, cards or chess. And what they'll do, they'll set it out there. Even though they can't see each other, they'll play a game of cards or chess, or this is their activity in the evening, you know, something to do, and it's a recreation.
So you'd see the hands outside the cells.
Right.
What about checkers? How are checkers played at night during these hours that you're locked in the cells?
I've seen men play them like maybe five or six cells apart, and they'll have two checkerboards, one checkerboard in each cell, and the man will holler like, clean on night, and then a couple minutes later, the other guy will holler back, and they both are playing the checker game.
And they have a numbered chess or checkboard?
Right, and then this way they can make their moves, and they have these games at night, you know. And this is how they have their chess games.
And what about mirrors as a way of seeing what's going on in the down the gallery? You can only look out in front in C block, and in others you don't have full vision. How would people look to see what was happening?
Well, the best way is, like, you got a mirror. But this here, they complain about the mirror sticking out. So you break one, and you get a little piece. And you stick it out there, and then you can look. Like, you look at the mirror here, and you can see what's going on down the hallway. Who's out there, who's talking, or what's going on. Because you can't see out. And especially in C block, you can, your restriction is, your vision is restricted, like, an area like this. So you can only see, like, maybe 10 cells across the hall, and you don't know what's going on, so you use a piece of mirror, and this way you can see what when the mailman's coming by, when the count man's coming by, or whatever.
Where did you get the mirrors from?
You buy them from the prison commissary.
And is there a lot of hustling on at Attica for people who can't get money from home and whose jobs pay the lower pay scales?
Oh, yeah, you have gambling, or some guys, like a man who works in the laundry, he makes money doing this, or a man who maybe does hobby work or something, he'll sell or trade for cigarettes, or any items, possibly like a watch is sold for cigarettes, or a make a wallet is sold for cigarettes. This is the medium of exchange in the institution. Is in cigarettes.
I see we're coming toward the lunch recess, and I think, Dean McKay, that if it is agreeable to you, that we could stop Mr. Jackson's testimony now and resume after the recess.
We'll resume the testimony, Mr. Jackson, after the lunch recess at 2 o'clock. Thank you.
Enslaved labor, free the Attica prisoner. Enslaved labor, free the Attica prisoner. Enslaved labor. Free the Attica prisoners and slave labor.
Free the Attica prisoners.
So the morning session has ended, but simultaneous with that, among the invited guests here, a chant has broken out to go along with the sign they've been carrying throughout the morning. Free the Attica prisoners and slave labor, as you may hear. And they are directing it at this commission, but probably they are more anxious to receive the publicity through the media that is assembled here, which indeed at this moment they are doing. We're originating this live coverage of this special state commission on Attica from the studios of WXXI Television, Channel 21, the public television station here in Rochester, New York. This is the first of 3 days of these hearings here in Rochester, and 2 weeks of hearings beginning next Monday in New York City. A major portion of this morning was devoted to setting the stage for these hearings, a kind of background on what the commission's mandate was, what the inside of the prison looked like. We just saw film of the inside, and an opportunity to compare the demographic statistics inside the prison. Members of the commission now are preparing to go to lunch. Following lunch, there'll be more testimony from former inmate William E. Jackson, who was with us this morning. And then Robert Matthews, a black inmate, will testify on what it's like right now inside the Attica State Correctional Facility. I'm Mitchell Krause. We'll resume our broadcast direct from the commission hearings here at Channel 21 in Rochester at 2 p.m. You've been watching live coverage of hearings being conducted by the New York State Special Commission on Attica. We will resume this live coverage from the WXXI-TV studios at 2 this afternoon. Tonight at 10:30, highlights of today's testimony will be featured during a 90-minute special.
Channel 21 is your television station in Rochester.